Did you or did you not come for me?
I did come for you, and I came for your Skechers too, you little bitch.
Now that's an example of a fight or real drama that could have happened on a reunion show. But on this one?
We got a lot of love coming for you today. We got a lot of motivational speaking from beef. Coco Kane. But the beef doesn't make sense.
Well, that's right.
It's the soy beef. Doesn't, it's not real.
The beef doesn't fully make sense. But listen, overall, this was a great Last Supper episode. And we have a special guest to talk through it with us.
Kendra Onyx
is here to get spooky with us.
It's spooky with us.
Enjoy the show.
Goodbye, fag.
Forever. Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Hello, Fuglies. We are your goulash ghouls, and welcome to Spooky Seconds.
Meepo, we only have a few more weeks of being spooky.
I know, look, I'm having a martini because this is the last episode. It's the martini episode.
Oh, what a industry talk. And yeah. you look like a man today. You got stubble on your beard?
I just got back from Vegas, baby. I'm feeling the fantasy.
Work that puss.
Well, speaking of working that puss, our special guest today is one of the hardest working pusses in all of Los Angeles. From
or
season
she's got
two,
everyone working for her, I'll tell you that.
For the puss. From season two of Dragula and Dragula Resurrection, we have Kendra Onyx.
Woo! What's up, guys?
Hi, Kendra.
And you also, you have your own Dragula review show, too, don't you?
I do. It's called Boo Views, and it comes out, you know, whenever we post this shit. They post their shit early, we post early. They post it late, we post it late. So it come out when it come out.
Yeah,
I will say, they have been posting theirs earlier. Shudder has learned, I think, and they're posting the episodes like 30 minutes early.
Let me ask you, though, because you both have now brought this up. I have not experienced any of the like delayed whatever. Are you just waiting for like 9 o'clock to watch it right on the dot?
No, I know the first and second season, they said that it would come out on a specific day, and it wouldn't. It would come out like the day later, or it would come out a day before. Then it would come out 2 days later. And it was just like, shit, when is this fucking thing coming out?
Exactly. Or it would come out, like 30 minutes late. Like, they'd be like, keep an eye out for it at 9:30, and then, or at 9 o'clock, and then it would come out at 9:45. I don't know. I just expect a streaming service as large as Shudder to maybe learn how to post something on time. But they have been, so that's
They have been.
Wow.
That's old shade that you made us bring up. We didn't want to talk about it.
I didn't want to talk about that.
Very similar to what happens on this episode of Dragula, old shade that was asked to be brought back up. That's all.
Exactly. But, oh, before we start, I have some insider tea.
Ooh.
So this was all shot in chronological order. So, but when this Last Supper was happening, they hadn't seen any of the episodes yet. All they were seeing was poorly put together, the words that were used were poorly pieced together edits of like what was shown in this final episode.
Oh, because rather than have a bunch of people travel back to LA.
Yes.
And like react to what's been airing on television. Listen, if I was producing a TV show, I would do the reunion too. There was a part where they sort of teased like they were going to ask questions. And I was
Those questions were fake.
I was like, from the viewers? There's no way they're asking questions.
Those questions,
had to
have been fake because it's all like this was all shot chronologically.
Right.
But so it made it weirder because a lot of the conversations were like, it seemed like they were talking about stuff that they didn't know if it was going to air or not. Anyway, let's get started. Why don't you kick us off?
Okay, let's be mindful. I'm still under contract.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
What contract?
Resurrection.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Meaning no disparagement, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, boo review. All right.
I mean, we could go in. Don't get me wrong. Okay. You know, don't nobody hold my tongue.
This is the episode for it.
Yes.
Nobody hold my tongue.
Remember last week was the killer clown Mario Kart go-kart race? And yes. After Mary Cherry was talking shit in the alley, the top four dunked each other in the dunk tank. And then they did their killer clowns on the floor show. And at the end, it was unclear. We knew there was a top four. It was unclear. It was clear that Dolly and Sigourney were making their way to the finale. But it kind of felt like we're going to find out this week if it's Hoso or Saint. That's where we left off before the Last Supper.
Who was I praying that went home?
Yes, who are you praying that went home?
Saint.
Oh, okay. You were ready for Saint to get
and
the
what
top.
For?
Oh, sis. Oh, do you watch the acting challenge, right?
Yes.
Do you think Saint should have been safe?
No, but this kind of goes along with what I've been saying for the whole time, is that, like, Saint has been safe even though they keep receiving the exact same note every week.
So it's like, how many times are you going to hear the same thing before you change it? Victoria exactly, Elizabeth Black?
She said, we want to talk about
Well, she said, I'm not going to do nothing but just drag people. So,
I'm just being honest.
Right.
T is T.
And Dolly and Sigourney and Saint and Hoso all join us this week because it starts with a beautiful master cut of what's to come, which is just backstage sound bites. The monsters doing their makeups and hyping themselves up. It's weird because they're all in different stages of their makeup.
Literally what I was going to say. I think it's weird that everybody wasn't in the workroom doing their makeup or the boudoir doing their makeup. Everybody was like sitting on a couch here, or I'm in a corner eating a scone over there. And, like, it was strange.
Don't you think they were trying to keep everyone separate?
I think that they weren't using the boudoir set to get ready. They were all down in the basement getting ready. And they couldn't show that, so they just moved them around the theater.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and they didn't want them to hear them talking about each other.
Yeah.
To me, this opening sequence was the most compelling part of the whole episode because it felt like there was going to be some real drama.
There was going to be a fist fight based on this.
It was very like Bad Girls, like, oh, whoever got something to say about me, they could say it. Today is the day. It was very that.
Why did they use old footage of Astrid being like, it's about who's the biggest monster from like the episode when she went home?
Girl.
The amount of times whenever Astrid mentioned that she won Dragula World, they cut to Lil Baby Formaldehyde rolling her eyes
behind the mask.
So fiercely that you could see it behind the mask.
You know what? I would bet my money that Astrid said that a lot.
I mean,
at the end
of the day, she did. She won.
I'd say it a bunch too. It's something to be proud of.
It's a title. I mean, think about that. In the world of drag, before there were drag TV shows, you say your fucking title. It's how you get booked for shit. It's a notch on your career belt. So why wouldn't you say that as often as you can?
Every drag performer that I have beat, and I have the crown too. I allow them to know. I'm like, girl, remember when I beat you way back in 2009? I was just starting and you was like seasoned already and I still beat you. Remember? I do bring it up often.
I'm sure they love that about you, Kendra.
They love it.
Something that I loved about this episode is that it was holiday themed.
So smart.
Shout out to production for knowing they were going to premiere in Halloween and take us to the holidays. Because this was cool to see like a little Christmas theme.
I thought that was really, really cool. I also, part of me was like, that wasn't necessary. Like, I could have just seen them in like their best drag.
Girl, now we're trying to give them a compliment and you undercut that?
I thought it was great timing. Anyway, did any of the looks stand out to y'all?
I really liked, I loved fucking Bitter Betty's look.
Yes.
It was so beautiful. Good. She even had the freaking bat thing that the penguin threw in her head.
Yes.
It looked thicker than the bats that were killing her, which was spot on. I love details.
It was so good. Mary as Jesus.
I love Mary Black Jesus.
Was that Jesus? I never seen Jesus with a gray beard.
Maybe it was Moses.
It was old Jesus. Okay.
No.
Yeah, after the resurrection.
Old Jesus is not a thing. Jesus died at 33 years old and then became immortal.
And then he kept aging. And
then he had crystallized.
Trey didn't like the session.
Y'all so stupid. And bitch is ready for the runway.
I love that Mary's look. I also love, we have to talk about it, the Mary Cherry glasses narrative.
That was funny.
Couldn't even get a set of contacts for the day.
I don't know how she wore glasses with lashes on.
She took them off. Remember, she took the lashes off.
Oh, she cried them off.
And she did this with the glasses. She just set them here so she could watch the clips and not fuck up her lashes. And then she took them off the tip of her nose.
I thought it was great. It was great.
Also, Coco
Kane. Coco looked incredible.
Coco always looks good. I've never seen a picture of Coco or even seen Coco ever looking less than.
The mug is right. It's right.
Stamped. So bomb.
Wow. And then, of course, my sweet little baby formaldehyde.
Black eyes and black lips.
My little baby. The first person done with their makeup every week, probably. You know what I mean?
I heard that she would be back there blending the shit out of that eye.
No, you better stop. Wait, that just reminded me. Israel did that one time on our season. We were all stuck in a tiny trailer getting ready, and Israel was like, "Hold on, I have to do my eye makeup," and then just like spent 30 minutes putting black eyeshadow around his eye while we were all rolling our eyes, being like, "Get the fuck out of here! There's 10 of us in here." It was so like funny. He took so long just to do the simplest thing, but I was like, "Yeah, girl, feel your fantasy."
Well, who's been around for 4 seasons and who got sent home?
Third, me.
Look who said the test of time, Israel.
The two of us.
Okay, I want to talk about the first segment of the reunion, which is we get to see audition tapes.
Which is so crazy to see. Also, they didn't show any clips of Mary's audition tape.
They didn't. They just showed her receiving the call. I wonder if she had
to send one in. I thought all of their audition tapes are really good. Everyone loved Astrid in the lizard outfit singing.
Wait, let me ask. Meepo, what was your audition like?
Didn't have to.
Season one didn't have to.
Kendra, we were all invited.
What was your audition tape like?
Mine was great. I was butt-ass naked in my clawfoot tub with candles all around me. And blood was in the water. I was covered in pearls. And that's how I did my audition tape. It was great. I was the blood-drenched sex demon, the original.
Did you have to do like the acting challenge that they all were doing?
And I could not remember the lines, bitch. So I had my laptop open in front of me in the biggest fucking font that I could get it in. And like, on my audition tape, you could see, because I wear like humongous ass lashes. So you could see the lashes go down to look at the line and then look back at the camera just to keep reciting it. My acting challenge was shit. But I have personality and I look great. So that's why I got on.
Do you remember what were the things in the audition tape?
It was a lot of like lines from Divine.
No, the acting scene is from a John Waters movie. I can't remember it right now. But like, were there other parts? Was it like show us 10 looks? Talk to us about your history.
Well, back when I got on, it was only show us 3 looks. So I had to do full glamour and horror.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And my glamour, I was like naked again, dressed in blood, jewels everywhere on a white carpet with the golden stone knife. And my horror, I did like a
stone knife.
Oh, yes. It was golden and stoned. It was gorgeous. And my filth, I was like a piglet. I was eating my best friend's ass, but there was like shit all over it.
Kendra!
Was it pudding or was it poo-poo?
It was actually a Snickers bar that I had him put in there. And yeah, because of the nuts, and then the nougat gives it a different consistency. But it sounds easy enough to be like, oh, I'm gonna eat a Snickers bar. One, I hate chocolate. And then two, it looked like shit. So like, I'm literally gagging as I'm doing it, trying to get a good picture. And then like these gangsters was trying to fight us. It was a mess.
Were doing it outside?
Oh, yes.
Well, you couldn't do that on the white carpet.
You know, I don't give a fuck.
Did you put the Snickers bar in their butt and then shoot it out into your mouth?
We put it in the butt crack so it would melt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't put it in the hole. I mean, I guess
I've seen that before, though.
Me too.
I mean, we could have, but I didn't want Extra to come out on accident.
A good thing to worry about. All right, let's take well, let's a break. Take a minute
and we'll be right back.
Yeah. I have to vomit.
This episode is brought to you by Helix.
I love my Helix mattress. I've said it before. This was the first adult mattress I ever bought that wasn't like, oh, I'll just take whatever's in the apartment or the sublet or my friend's getting rid of one. And does it make a difference? Absolutely. It's like, I love this mattress.
I absolutely love mine and I always talk about it, but we travel a lot for work. And it used to be that when I would get into a hotel bed, I would be so excited because they were so comfortable. Now, all I do is miss my bed when I am out of town. I just constantly am like, how do we get every hotel to get a Helix Lux? Like, how can we make that happen?
I agree.
And I'm currently shopping for a new mattress for my guest bedroom. And of course, my first option is going to be Helix. And I'm like, it's kind of fun doing the little quiz to try to figure out. Because I'm like trying to think of like, which of my friends and how do they sleep? Because I want it to be comfortable for them, but also for everybody. So.
And you know you're going to be crawling over there and sleeping on that one.
Well,
too,
it's going to be brand new, so I'm definitely going to be on it because I love it.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
And how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Just take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with responsive foam to cradle your body for support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge, which is amazing.
And Helix knows that there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows to our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
HelixSleep.com/sloppy and use code HelixPartner20.
Warmer, sunnier days are calling, so fuel up for them with Factor's No Prep, No Mess meals.
Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto.
Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals.
Okay, when the Factor box comes, I put a smile on my face because my fridge is full of meals. Like, and they're all good. The variety of flavor is so great. The heat up factor, like, you know, literally, this got all the factors, honey. Just the fact that you can heat up the meal in 2 minutes and it doesn't taste like overcooked or stale or anything like other microwavable meals do.
Well, it's because they're never frozen.
Right, that's what it is.
They're coming to you fresh, baby. So you can cook them in 2 minutes. A friend of mine is actually using Factor too, and I went over to his house. I opened the fridge and I saw them in there, and I was like, "Now, which meals do you get?" And we went and talked about them for like an hour. It's so good. I love Factor.
The vegetable option, I love that it's like often it's cauliflower rice or like minced broccoli.
Yeah.
And I love zucchini noodles. Like they're always putting more vegetable into the meal. And the protein size of like the meat portion, it's not dinky.
No, baby. That's enough to fill up a big boy. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore.
Keep kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off next month.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Okay.
And we're back. And
okay, the Boulez ask
Jinx.
So the Boulez ask.
Okay, so Boulez ask.
No, you go. No, you go. I'm drunk.
The Boulez ask everyone if they thought the competition was harder than they thought it would be. And literally everyone's like, yes.
Yes.
It is. It is. It's way harder than it looks on TV.
Absolutely.
And this was something we had sort of thought was true, but Formaldehyde reveals, like, this was the first time I literally was ever on a stage, was in the competition, because she's, like, 100% a bedroom pandemic queen.
That's so shocking to me.
Isn't that wild?
That's insane.
Well, I don't think it's insane. I think it's a little crazy that they ended up on the show, because it's like so much of the show is stage performance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So whatever they showed in that audition tape must have been incredible.
Well, they showed clips of it and the looks were like very cool.
The looks are always right. But I mean, this is going to sound shady, but I'm going to
say it.
I could look like Tyra Banks, too, with all the editing in the world.
Whoop, whoop. It's like when
you're saying she's a yassifier.
She yassified herself. She's a maskified.
I mean, she even says that she uses editing and all that stuff, but I mean,
No, it's true. It's like when you meet people Mama. Who are like big on TikTok for being comedians or being dancers on TikTok. They can't do a show. They can do 60 seconds front-facing, only at the camera. That's not being shady. They found something that they're very good at. It just doesn't translate to every medium. Just like, I mean, I've had a TikTok account for how long, and I can't bring myself to do... I feel like, you know...
I would fucking live if Big Dipper was on TikTok doing all the little dances. That is insane to me.
Giving us some of these.
The backward skip, you know, that the kids are saying now.
The backward skip, you mean the jerk?
It's called the reject, hoes.
Girl, but do you remember when the jerk first came out?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember when twerking first started?
Yes, the jerk, all that. We're old now.
Do you guys remember daggering?
Yes. No, I don't know what that is.
You don't know what daggering is?
No.
Yo,
you can look it up.
Do it, Zipper. Do it.
No, I can't. I need another partner person and a ladder.
Daggering
is like a dance hall dance where it's basically
dangerous.
It's not grinding. It gets more intense than that. And the partner behind is like pumping, like holding the hips.
Oh,
and the
way, okay.
And when the like hype people at the DJ concerts get super into it, they climb up on ladders and then they jump off of ladders and they dive into the woman whose legs are spread.
I didn't know that had a name.
Oh yeah, daggering.
Daggering, honey.
That is dangerous.
Daggering.
In the song that I first ever put out, in daggered which I too. Have a questionable appropriative accent.
Here in the forest, the little creatures come out to play.
What I'm standing in my truth. One of my lyrics is me dagger all the time.
Oh my god.
Me dagger all the time.
Me dagger all the time. Me dagger all the time.
Okay.
And it was because I was influenced by the white man Diplo, who was doing all that dancehall music with Major Lazer.
Yes.
I love
yes,
that.
Yes, appropriation. That's good.
Okay,
yes.
So.
What?
Appropriation is a touchy subject for me. Only because I feel like I don't feel like you're making fun of the culture at all.
Right.
For me. So I don't think that, see that as appropriation. Like right. What the Kardashians do, I see as appropriation. Big ass, big lips, big hips. Let's do some braids today. And then that's fashion. But when Keisha down the street got big lips, big ass, big hips, and then she has her braids in, And then corporate America tells her that's ghetto. That's appropriation. Right. Yes, yeah. That's appropriation for me.
It's, I think what the...
Now, what about the... when Dipper wears cornrows and says...
And says the when... dog all the time.
Appropriation!
I'm dying. The thing that I've learned in all of my conversations with people is, regardless of intent, the impact always outweighs that. So exactly. Even if your intent was celebration, uplifting, homage, if the impact of it is negative or offensive, that it doesn't matter what the intent was.
Okay.
All right.
So.
And what do you think of the intent of the Boulez asking Saint and Dolly, do you think you had an unfair advantage over the others? Was?
To get them, but neither of them are messy.
Neither of them are messy. They That's both crazy. Said, I don't do mess.
They would have got me. I'm like, no.
Right. Wait, but do you feel, well, no, honestly, okay, so you did Resurrection, and it wasn't like a competition like this was, no. Correct?
Correct.
It felt very different. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a completely different experience for you.
It was a completely different experience for me. I cried so fucking much. As soon as the camera went on, I would start crying. They're all, really, Kendra? What are you crying for? I'm like, I'm just so happy. Like, girl, just crying forever.
Well, I think the conversation about, like, you know, does Saint and Dolly have an unfair advantage? And Dolly's response of, like, I mentally was able to prepare myself.
Yeah.
That pivots to this thing that Jade brings up, where Jade says, I was on a reality show before, and I wanted to prove that I had, like, the mental stability to go on reality TV again. And she, in that moment, she goes, and I think I kind of failed that, because she had this one goal, which was to come on the show and show her artistry and do something else. And what ended up happening is her entire narrative was, I can't get out of my own way, and I have these emotions that are volatile. And I felt really bad for Jade, honestly, on this episode, because it's clear. Meatball's putting on a tiny hat. She doesn't feel bad for Jade at all.
I did don't. Too. I felt bad for her. It's because I've been there. It's hard to get out of your head and then feel like you're trying everything to prove yourself, and it's just not.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a hard place to be in.
Yeah.
But you also can't be that person and then be the bitch at the same time.
Yeah, I think that it seemed like there was something else going on underneath the surface when the cameras weren't on. And that made me think, like, I don't know which version of this Jade is real. Is it the one that they're all talking about? Or is it the one that's on camera being overly positive?
Well, she also said that she suffers with bipolar disorder. So right. I'm pretty
so they
sure
could
she...
both be real.
Yeah, so both of them, yeah. Okay.
Huh. Let's
I don't
want to
diagnose.
About...
Let's talk about this Mary Cherry clip.
No, she said it. She specifically
she
said it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I heard it, but I don't want to be like, that's why she acts this way. Like, I don't want to.
Well, oh, that's. No. I mean, there were a lot of
that's
moments.
That's a stereotype.
There were a lot of moments like that where it was like, you were acting in this wild way. And then Jade's like, well, I'm finally ready to share my bipolar. And then it was like, Sigourney, you were really emotionally wild. And she was like, well, my mom died. Like, there were actual sort of reasons behind everything, but no one held on to them. They still held on to whatever the beef was.
Yeah.
Speaking of beef.
Let's talk about Mary Cherry.
Mary Cherry gets,
she gets
how
her
much
own
screen
fucking-
time?
This whole thing should just be called the Mary Cherry Show.
Oh, yeah.
She got the most she got the most clips. She had the most energy. She gave the most entertainment. She had the most airtime.
But I think she only had the most airtime, the most clips, the more energy, also because everybody else really doesn't talk.
Girl.
So if you're the loudest person in the room, like
what's,
me, wh- I get it.
What's formaldehyde there?
I'll talk to my fucking self. I surely will be in the mirror like, bitch, you better go in. You know,
But no, you're right. And but Meepo, I will answer, formaldehyde was there, and she honestly got more screen time than Dolly did.
Yeah. Like, and that made me horny and sad.
But that's what saying. Like, there was no, a lot, you know, it was like, it was Zaba, Sigourney, Mary, a little bit of Jade, and Coco. Like, everyone else just sort of, like, had their one blippy moment.
Yeah.
But we get back into the drama that won't quit, Mary versus Sigourney.
Oh my God.
But what I appreciated about this, and then we can get into the details, is that Coco, after they like showed the clip package and they tried to talk it, Coco just interjected and was like, basically, she didn't feature you, and then you got mad and didn't feature her because she didn't feature you. And that's that.
That's the tea. That's what it is. That's what it is. Literally.
You don't like each other. That's fine.
That's you do not have to be everybody's fucking best friend. And I keep telling people that.
And when I also Mary, like when what? Go ahead.
Well, when Mary was like, but she didn't want to say anything back. I feel like a real person would say more back. And Coco was like, she's not obligated to argue with you. She doesn't have to say anything back to you. I was like, damn, I guess she's right.
It sounds like Coco goes to therapy. Adjusted.
Yeah, is like, a well-adjusted knows adult.
What's going on? She's like, she doesn't owe you anything, so she can choose not to.
I wanted this Coco the whole show.
Exactly.
I never saw any of this on the show.
Coco was, she was very, very quiet. And I know Coco. And I know Coco is not quiet. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it was the cameras or the situation. It had to have been the
cameras.
It does get to you.
We also have to think about this in a way that, like, I keep forgetting that this was shot during COVID. So these people had not seen anybody.
You keep forgetting, but you bring it up every time we talk about it.
Yeah, because I keep forgetting.
One thing I will say is, like, you, I think certain people are also really thrown by a change in their surroundings when they can't go home to their bed, make their nighttime phone call, pet their cat, do whatever. It really throws some people, and you don't really know. That doesn't make for good TV when the person's like, I miss using my favorite coffee mug every morning to, like, look out my window and drink my, you know, my tea. And that really centers my day. And it's throwing me off. And it's like, no one cares about that on a TV show.
It's true. But I mean, like, girl.
Okay. So I want to talk about this. The Boulets actually stir the pot a little bit. And they say, this wasn't aired. But in the Mary and Coco conflict, Mary approached Zavaleta and said, you sabotaged me by pairing me with Coco. And one of my favorite exchanges here for the Nosferatu beach party is that they were talking about, oh, well, I was trying to get her to do her wig different and your wig couldn't even fit on your head because you didn't try it on under your helmet. All the little like minutia of that. And then, I think Sigourney says, you weren't even a vampire. You were a fish. And someone said, in Skechers.
Did she not wear heels the whole fucking
allegedly,
time?
Allegedly, she was in Skechers.
Oh my God.
You weren't even a vampire. You were a fish. In
Skechers.
This makes me, I wonder how often she was in a heel. No shame to not wearing a heel. You don't ever have to wear a heel if you don't want to.
You know when Mary Cherry did wear a heel? At in the 9 rock in the challenge. Morning when she came she to our podcast. She busted
into our podcast.
In full drag studio. In downtown LA. Full in a heel.
With the heel on.
I had never seen her in a heel my entire life. My whole time living in Brooklyn. Never once seen her in a heel. And then she wore a heel to a non-video audio recording.
That's so funny.
But she showed up in like big chunky Maribel, Clarabelle cow heels.
She did, a bordello.
Oh my God. Mary?
Mary?
It was again.
These were the bordellos with the strap and the fat chunky heel, like how it starts out thin and then gets lighter at the bottom. It was one of those heels.
I also think Mary
support a lot of weight.
Mary should wear
distribute that.
Mary should make t-shirts that say in Skechers.
That she should. She put fur on them. Why not make a t-shirt about it?
Oh, the flip flop. Oh God, no, they were just strappy sandals. Okay,
they look like Skechers to me with shoes with fur on the top. It looked like I thought they were the regular slip on black Vans with fur on the top. Got it with glue.
One thing
it with hot glue. Get the hot glue, baby.
One thing I definitely want to point out, and I'm really happy that the Boulets acknowledged it, is that after the Coco and Mary, back and forth, which again was so many of these conflicts that they're rehashing, they weren't really a conflict. Like, it was just sort of like a miscommunication it's never like, you stole my wig, you tripped me on the stage, you called me a bad person. They're all like, your mood was off and I couldn't tell if it was me or not. Like, that's what I felt like all this conflict
Kendra,
was.
Would you put up with all this fake conflict or would you start some of your own? Because I would steal a wig just to start a fight.
I don't deal with fakeness at all. So I would probably do something real. I'd be like, no, bitch, I don't like you because I don't like you. And I don't have to give you a fucking explanation, ho.
That's exactly. What I would've said. And that's what Coco was trying thing. To say.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
But
I like that the Boulets basically, after Coco, held her own, not only in support of Sigourney, but then, like, it very, very succinctly explained to Mary, like, you put me in a bad mood, and it was your fault in our partnership. The Boulets were like, and Coco, you are an audience favorite. And I was like, yes.
She is. She really is. She is the fan favorite of this season.
Completely.
And it's crazy because she went home third. And she wasn't even in most of the season, and everybody still has Coco's name on their tongue.
Yeah.
Because well, she showed out with the flags last week at the Mario Kart.
Yes, the flags is what brought everyone back. They
she
said, Coco, yes.
Surely did. She showed her motherfucking ass in that race.
So there's a moment where Astrid sort of talks about her journey and her mental health and basically says...
And Dragula World.
She did win Dragula World. She and did after say winning that. Dragula World, she was not prepared to come onto Dragula, but even though she had won Dragula World, she wasn't confident
and
enough
to do.
And you
know my favorite thing about Astrid is her time at Dragula World. It was a wonderful evening for her to be at... Because she won Dragula World. And she was up against so many incredible competitors in Dragula World. But she, out of all of them, won. And I think she was supposed to be... Anyway.
Never mind.
She talked about her imposter syndrome. What she was describing was just imposter syndrome.
And she said, like, I wish I had gone to therapy so I had the tools to be here. Like...
It's clear that she is in therapy now.
These contestants...
Oh, wait,
this
I guess
season?
Not.
I don't know
well,
yet.
Now,
maybe
but
she
not
is
at
now.
The time of recording because she right. was still there.
But I feel like they're so mature. Yeah. They're so mature. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I fucked up. You know what I mean? Like my season going through, it was like, I'm sorry, and I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Oh right, you guys were very combative.
Hey, I got attacked and I attacked. Period.
Correct.
By two bitches, and nobody remembers that I got attacked by two bitches.
Say their names.
Yeah. Victoria and James, period.
Oh, yeah, they are both bitches.
But, I mean, me and James now, we get along. We're good. Me and Victoria...
That's what I was about to say. After the show ends, once you're done, once you've been kicked off, you start to see things a little bit more clearly because you're super stressed out.
You're not in the bubble.
And then, yeah, everybody just becomes friends, and, like, you talk about it like it was, like... a weird experience you all share.
And in real life, you don't rehash the events of 10 days over and over and over again for years. You let them go.
Who don't?
So
unless we're talking about Frankie Doom, in which case I will rehash it. She is a cheater.
She cheated!
I am petty. You could call me Petty Watt, Petty Crocker, Petty LaBelle, okay?
Petty Betty.
Where's my unhashed beef? Where's all that beef? Bring out my beef.
Where's my background singles?
That's what I was trying to do in beef with another queen. Then they cut to a break, but they don't cut the cameras. What did you think about this?
Oh, that was shady.
That was genius of them not to keep the cameras rolling while everybody's like, oh, girl, I need another drink. Who got a bump? Just being themselves, you know what I mean? It was great. And then as soon as the cameras came back on, everyone was like, well, how do you do?
Yes. I just heard that Sigourney immediately turned around to Coco and was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having my back.
She was like, I got your back. And then Mary was like, what's going on? And Saint was like, ugh.
And Betty was like, mama, I want to get wasted.
Like, okay. Betty thought, I don't need this wine. Who got shot? Where the liquor?
Yes.
Exactly.
And Zava giving us one of my favorite drag songs of all time by Crystal Mesh, the Cabana song.
I don't know.
In my cabana, sipping coconut and banana.
I don't know that song at all.
You guys have to listen to Crystal Mesh's, I think it's Pool Boy or
Crystal
Cabana.
Mesh, Pool
my
Boy.
Cabana. My Cabana.
Oh, it's not... Crystal Mesh is in...
from New York, from Brooklyn. Right. Now they're an adult film actor in Florida.
Ooh.
Okay. With a big old piece of meat. With a big old piece of cock.
Okay, sweaty hog.
We all love big cocks.
Let's take a break. But for real, we are going to go to break.
And Mary says that she was Black Jesus.
Why with gray hair?
I don't know.
I'll text her on the other side.
Maybe she was like feeling her own age. And then she was like...
I thought she was Joseph.
She just wrote my S&M Black Jesus look.
Yeah, because she's like standing on water with her palms up.
Yeah, but I mean, I get the S&M because it's like a red rubbery thing as the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Jesus was never white haired with a beard.
Never old.
No, he was never old.
Didn't get that age. Anyway, we'll be back after this break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Do you agree?
I totally agree. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I definitely carry stuff around. I think we're both people who will sort of replay conversations in our head. I know for me, as just in the line of work that I do, like, there's always variables. There's always like, can we do this date or this date? And will this happen or that happen? And I'm always holding on to it rather than just being like, oh, when I open the computer to do work, that's when I do work. I like keep it with me at all times. And so in therapy, I have definitely learned tools and like reminders to just let work be work and life be life. And that's one big struggle that I'm always talking about in therapy.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you're able to switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppy.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
And we're back! And they bring up their favorite challenge of all time, the Monsters of Cock Rock Challenge.
Who went to buy fabric? Were you in the van? Were you in the van? Why are they rehashing the details?
Well, I think this is a good, important thing because it seemed like maybe Sigourney complained in the car that none of her team members were there to the other team, while the rest of her team was sitting at the house being like, why'd she leave? I thought we were going to rehearse. Like, okay. It just seemed like a different version of that story.
It definitely seemed like something was said in the van, and the other team started gathering a picture of Sigourney's team based on what was said in the van. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but the other team is like, where the fuck did Sigourney go? We supposed to be practicing. The fuck?
Yeah, right. It felt like they didn't realize she was leaving and then she left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seemed confused about it as a team. And it made it weirder because they were all like, we were trying to finally work together and you abandoned us.
And Mary does bring up the good point that on the runway, when everyone went down the line and said, at the floor show, when everyone went down the line and said Mary's name, she was like, no one piped up and said, like, Sigourney could have said, I actually told them I would run the errand by myself. Nobody said anything. So that did make me think, oh, there's a little more plot in there.
Yeah, what we saw was more one-sided, but we got the whole story at the reunion.
Yeah. Right. Which is the point.
But which side do you believe?
Girl, I feel like Sigourney didn't rebut this story. I think it was not lying, it was omission. I think when they filmed the episode, she chose to omit the fact that there was no beef with her going by herself. She was salty she was making Mary a dress because she felt Mary was a weak link and not pulling her own weight in general. Mm-hmm. But I think the actual, like, the point being made of, like, Sigourney was the only one who was on the supply run. She just let that be,
She let them run with that story and didn't interject.
Correct.
So she thought, like, well, at the end of the day, Mary is getting out of the competition, which is exactly what I want. So what's going to happen different? Me saying anything.
And I don't fault Sigourney for that, because I feel like I would have done that same thing.
I would have said something. I was like, no, I just left. But Mary, you still the weakest link.
Right. You didn't come without it.
Yeah, so you agree.
That's the right way to do.
The fact that I had to go get extra fabric to make you a skirt proves that you were not prepared for this challenge.
Ooh, and then she could have said, and I wanted to do it by myself because I knew if I let you do it, it would be worse.
Okay. It would have been ugly. So no.
Wow.
She really came for her full. All right.
Yeah. Girl, okay. I'm sorry. I know this is not even touched in the reunion, but can we talk about how Sigourney read Hoso for filth?
When?
When Hoso was like, you just don't have Dracula in your blood.
Oh, girl,
she had a finger up. She must have stopped her. I'm going to stop you there, little girl.
Yes.
And then it was so, my mouth is open the whole time. Literally.
You know, I feel like anytime someone came for Hoso, it happened once or twice. I feel like Hoso's responses were genuine and, like, earnest. I don't think that she ever meant anything to be super shady. She was just kind of speaking the facts, and maybe she wasn't saying it in a way that they understood it completely, but she didn't mean any harm.
She doesn't really have a bad bone in her body.
Yeah.
Like, right. At all. She's a fucking sweetheart.
She got a bone in her body.
We've seen the bone.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Wait, Meatball, you just hung out with Sigourney in real life, not in front of
TV cameras. We went shopping.
Is she a raging bitch, they all say? No, I'm just kidding.
Nope. Super nice. Super friendly.
I heard she was super nice. One of my sisters from Nebraska just did a show with her.
Yeah,
and
she's
great.
And
she said she was one of the nicest people in the world. I was like, what?
And we were fabric shopping and shopping in the alley, so it was, like, fun to just, like, see what kind of stuff that she's, like, drawn to outside of...
And
like, just seeing, like, her outfits on the show.
She was like, I gotta buy some fabric to make Mary a skirt.
I know, she's like, I still gotta make Mary an outfit.
No, what's funny is that we both just, like, didn't really talk about the show at all. Because I knew, like, she's not allowed to. And it would have, like, and we didn't talk about the podcast at all. Because I was like, I know I've said things about you that you probably have listened to. And we were both just very nice and friendly. And it was a wonderful time. And I would love to hang out with her again.
Yeah.
But you know who she doesn't want to hang out with? Is probably Jade and Betty when they're fighting, right?
Good transition. Good job.
Apparently, Sigourney was planning on playing the victim on camera, and Jade told Mary and Betty that.
Okay, that's messy.
That was messy, but then did she even say it? We don't know.
This was unresolved to me. They tried to give a reason for the Jade and Betty clash, but then it still felt unresolved.
Absolutely unresolved.
I felt like it was a clear consensus that Jade went back and told them something. I don't know if it was that she was going to play the victim. But because Jade ended up, hold on. Slow down, Kenny. Jade ended up.
Not Kenny, Kenneth.
Kenneth Wayne Hampton II.
Oh!
Jade ended up going back and circling back and saying that she shouldn't have said anything, that it was very messy for her to say anything. So I wonder what she really said.
So my theory is that in a conversation, you know, Jade, I bet Sigourney and Jade were chatting, and obviously mm-hmm. Jade has been on a reality TV show before. Mm-hmm. And I bet the conversation of like things you can do to help, you know, steer your portrayal one way or the other.
Mm.
And it's possible that Sigourney mentioned, again, this is literally a theory I'm coming up with.
You're making this up.
But it's possible Sigourney mentioned something like, well, if I approach things in this way, I can play the victim role pretty easily. I can say I'm the underdog. I can say my mom just died. I can say all these things, which is messy and fucked up. But if Jade maybe communicated that and then Sigourney was like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I was just saying I could, then tried to backtalk it. Whatever it was, someone was speaking out of turn and it caused a whole fucking rift.
It was like a snowball effect.
Can I say what I think maybe
happened?
I feel like maybe Jade, and I'm putting this all on Jade now, was playing both sides. Like, she wanted to be friends with the bitchy girls, but also saw that Sigourney was, like, a strong competitor and wanted to get close to her. So maybe she was, like, talking shit about both to each side.
And then maybe Sigourney did something nice, and then Jade was like, oh, I gotta watch that.
Oh, shit. Or maybe Jade realized, like, oh, I can't. I need to stay on Sigourney's good side, and it doesn't really matter about Mary or whatever. So she's like, I'm going to try to back away from them as my team. Because, like they said, it started out with Betty and Jade being really close and friendly. And then all of a sudden, one day, something changed and she stopped talking to them and, like, moved her makeup station.
Well, this is why I love shows like Big Brother, where they literally sit in a confessional and tell you what their strategy is. And then they go out and they interact with people because you get the full picture. I had no idea.
But no one here wants to play a game. Big Brother is all about being in a game.
Girl, everyone here was playing a game. What are you talking about? Except for
everyone
Dolly.
Was honest.
Dolly wasn't
concise.
Playing a game, but Dolly could play a game with my whole.
Honest and concise. Is that what you said, Kenny?
Everyone was honest. Everyone was them true selves.
Kenny's a liar.
Said no one.
Then one moment I do want to call out is after Jade sort of apologizes, everyone says, you know, we love you, Jade. You're going to be celebrated for your artistry, which I really hope is the case. I didn't really buy what they were saying that people aren't going to remember her for her messy behavior, because I think that's what we are going to remember her for.
Yeah.
But I loved that Zavaleta said, we love you, Jade, and then did Jade's classic end of the runway season 5 drag race pose, which is basically the Beyonce pose, arms over the head, and she said, we love you, Jade, and then did it, which was
Zava's funny,
shady.
Dude. She is funny.
Well, next up, we get the Zavaleta clip package, and they show every one of her stunts, everything that she's done that's incredible during the show. And they just can't stop talking about how fearless she is.
Yeah.
They call
her
fire. She's
really celebrated in this moment.
She really had a character arc. It was like, in the beginning, it was like, oh, we hate Zava. She's a bitch. Da, 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 da. Then it's like, goes on and goes on. Then she's like, Saint Zava, let's love her. Let's praise her.
Yes. I remember on that first episode, literally everyone on Instagram was like, this is how you be a villain on a reality TV show.
And I said that was great TV.
Yeah.
She was an incredible
TV.
Now I love her.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, everybody lashes out for a reason. Hurt people, you know what I mean? So obviously she had a story to tell, and I'm glad that America or everyone was able to see her story.
Right.
Oh my God, I sound like I'm in a pageant right now.
You are.
I'm
wearing my crown, that's why.
You're very lovey-dovey.
Yeah,
from
you
Dracula
love
Dracula World? Did you steal that crown from
Did you steal it
Astrid?
From Astrid because she won?
No, I was already on the show.
What?
Ooh,
then we get our sort of clip package about the extermination challenges, which I will say, we have been talking a lot of shit on this podcast about the level of extermination challenge and how they're mostly just
These exterminations are easy.
Right.
Driving a go-kart,
easy.
Putting your arms in leeches, going, okay, maybe I'm speaking because, like, okay, I was in the military, so I've done a lot of shit, you know what I mean? Mm. So none of these extermination challenges scared me at all. At fucking all.
Right.
I feel like the only extermination challenge in the whole series that has like been like, oh, I don't know if I would have did that, was the needles. That was it.
Girl. The ones that stand out to me are like the needles, the someone else chooses a tattoo, and the skydiving. Those are like the big, and I guess the buried alive for the claustrophobia.
Yes.
I mean,
the latex vacuum chamber this season seemed a little
that
intense.
Seemed the scariest.
That was probably the most intense that this season had gotten.
And I wish the roaches, they were bound so that they couldn't flick them off.
Am I the only one?
What?
Go ahead.
You like roaches?
No. I think roaches are gross and they stink. But am I the only one that realized I feel like Jade had 10 times the amount of roaches as Sigourney had?
Yes! When Sigourney was like shaking and moving, there was like maybe 20 on her, or maybe 20 on her total. And like Jade had like 30 of them on her head.
It looked like at least 100.
They were falling off.
Yes!
I think Sigourney had bigger hair and it was like blocking them from getting to her face, even though they had that little shadow person placing them.
Yes, Kim Kardashian running around handing those.
Now, who has the pageant answer? Me or him?
Okay, I'm going to just list off this year's exterminations and you can say yes or no if you think you would be able to do it. All right,
okay. Let's
go. The Maze of Terror.
Yes. Oh, no. I do not. That's one of the things that one I forgot about it.
The clowns?
It's like a haunted house.
It was a haunted house.
I don't do those.
That's fashion and OC. That is something teenage girls go do for fun.
They're like,
I have been kicked
please
out of Not Scary Farm for someone jumping out and scaring me and me punching them in the face.
Well, that's the military in you.
I do not like being jump scared at all.
They were like, ladies, please. Please kneel in front of this partition and a car will come.
No, please kneel in front of this partition where there is a car with lights on it in front of you. It's not like the car came from anywhere.
12 feet away.
It's just like over there and they're like, I wonder what's going to happen. Okay, buried alive.
Yes.
No.
Eating garlic and, in quotes, pig's blood.
Yes.
No.
Leech infested waters.
Yes.
Yes.
Mechanical hell bull.
Yes.
Electrocution chair.
Yes. Yes.
Submerged in the ocean.
Yes.
Yes.
Roach Acropolis.
Ooh, Roach Acropolis. I love it. Yes.
Yes.
Latex vacuum chamber.
Yes.
No.
I can hold my breath for a long time.
I can hold my breath for that. They're not going to let me die. Go-kart race.
Yes. Hell yeah. I would have been pissed if I would have got Hoso's car.
I would have been pissed. I don't think that Hoso's car could have carried me. You know what I mean?
Damn.
I mean, if we're going to be completely honest.
You know what I mean?
Then Mary falls asleep while formaldehyde is talking about wearing a mask.
Shut up. Did she really? Oh, did I miss that?
She was like rolling her eyes.
Looked like she was over the mask situation.
Who else? Nobody wore a mask like formaldehyde does, though. Right?
Yeah. What about, there was...
Well, they brought up the thing that, like, formaldehyde went home for wearing a mask. And
no, wearing
that
the
same
shoes.
Episode, Zava was wearing... Or they people were coming for her, but, like, Mary was the marshmallow man and wore a mask. And Zava was that worm thing and wore a mask. Like, all these other people wore masks on that same episode.
True.
So
it was kind of hypocritical. But I think they had that idea that their drag is not based on a mask.
Correct. Correct, correct.
It's based on a camera.
Like
Betty and Sigourney. Betty said that talking to Sigourney is like talking to a brick wall, bitch.
Vapid, vacant.
And then Coco, I live for this. Coco jumped in and Coco was like, I just felt like Coco was the clearest communicator because she just said like, maybe Sigourney just came in with her eyes on the prize. She didn't let the tiny little bullshit get to her. And so you're talking to her about some he said, she said bullshit. And she's like, okay, I'm doing my makeup.
Yeah.
That's why I'm
I don't
want to
be involved in this.
I think everybody saw Sigourney and was like, oh, you know, let's just be real. I'm pretty sure everybody thought this. Like, oh, she's not going to go far. She's a real girl. Like, whatever.
Right.
And then they saw
misogyny.
How fucking sickening she was.
Correct.
And then they were like, oh, no, we got to do something to get this bitch out. You know what I mean? Because she is sickening.
That's exactly what it was. And that's very how much competitions are. But when given the opportunity, none of them tried to.
Oh, no. They didn't.
Well, because...
I would have hit her pasties. I would have did something.
Get rid of her those nice wigs.
I would have put up my makeup brush up my ass. I'm like, oh, she got pink eyes. She got to stop production.
Getcha!
You gonna give her a sty?
She got pink eye and a sty. She can't be around me.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to finish it all.
Give her a false positive COVID test.
Oh, God.
We are back.
Now, the Boulez sort of teased the idea of an all-star season.
A season of Titans.
Refer to as the season of Titans or another resurrection. Now, Kendra, you have returned. They asked the room who would be interested in coming back, and Saint is the only person who does not raise their hand.
I mean, when you paint your face the same for three seasons, why would you come back? I mean, she's done it for 3 years of her life, so she's burnt out.
Yeah, thinking about it that way, like, that was literally three consecutive years of her life. I could understand being like, no, but maybe in... I wouldn't have left it no. I would have been like, maybe in the future, like, when there's other people to compete against. I've basically been on every season now.
Be like, I'll come back and guest judge. Or like something cunty.
Something. I would have been like, why would I come back and I already won? That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
But she was just like, I didn't. No, it's stressful.
I really can't put myself.
Kendra, you would have been like, if I come back, I'm just going to cry every time they turn the camera on.
Oh my God. I'm like, if I come back, don't jump scare me.
People, would you go back and be a Titan?
I have been wondering this.
I would think I'd have a wonderful time just being a part of just life and living. And I really enjoy...
You'd go back and live, laugh, love.
I really enjoy the idea of costumes. I like wearing them. Wigs are one of my favorite items to purchase.
What about makeup?
And I do have a lot of shoes. And I do love to sell makeup.
You haven't answered the question.
So is that a yes or a no?
Zaba loves her body. She thinks she's sexy.
So you're open to it. You're offer only, but you're open to it.
I don't know if I would. I wouldn't want to do what they're doing on this season.
Can we be real? Can we like really go for it?
Well, they would never have me back. That's the real thing.
Do you
I wouldn't
feel
be
like
back.
You're in like a Willem scenario here? Where if you ever.
Why would you bring up William at a time like this?
I said Willem, first of all. Do you feel like if you went back, it would be amazing for the show, the ratings, everyone would be so invested and interested?
Oh, yes.
Yes, but I think that would be great for the show if I went
there's
back.
There's no way they would ever invite you back.
Absolutely. There's no way I would ever be invited back.
There you go.
And that's for all back. The listeners. They won't. They wouldn't have me, honey. All right.
Kendra, don't you think she should go back on?
I think that would be great if you went back on. You are like, you're literally one of the characteristics of Dragula that's least represented. That's why I was so glad that Mary was there. There's really no fat? Camp queens.
Oh.
Well, fat, black, and camp.
Campy. Yeah.
There's none. Everybody wants to be so sexy. Everybody wants to be so spooky. I would love to see you back on right next to me. And then I
two of us together.
Teams, like they did on All Stars One of Drag Race.
Fuck a team. I no hate team. Team challenge. Fuck a team challenge. No, ma'am. I got exterminated on a team challenge. I'm cool.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I had a robot leading me.
Don't talk about Victoria like that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But you know who we can't
talk
about?
She was a robot.
Oh.
Zavaleta?
No. Sigourney
well,
said that
likes
she,
to show off her balls.
She keeps them balls out.
I mean, they're not a bad set.
Who? Kendra, how many of your Dragula sisters have you kai-kai'd with?
You know, we're all having fun. Sigourney.
Sigourney and Mary.
How did you find this? Kendra is transitioning us on our outline without having the outline.
I know, she literally was like, Sigourney's next.
Sigourney and Mary are next. I've heard you say it three times. I found this manipulative and bad, and I didn't like that this got included.
It was a very leading question, and it was prying in a way that was bad. But
Sigourney and Mary both talk about the loss in their life. It gets incredibly emotional. But my takeaway from this is that just like with anything in this life, just because you have one common thing with another person doesn't mean you need to get along. Like the Boulez at one point even said, and I would have thought this as a producer, the Big Boulez says, I sort of thought the two of you would bond and become close over this grief.
That is the equivalent of being like, hey, I have a gay friend.
Yeah.
You guys want to date? Hey, you guys have both suffered huge traumatic losses. You guys can bond.
Or we both have on black jeans. Let's be best friends.
I don't think they were being dismissive of the loss in both of their lives.
No,
but
not
it
at
did
all.
Feel it felt like, ugh, why are we talking about this? Like this is obviously so traumatic for them.
It felt like they wanted a storyline from it and the opposite happened.
Correct.
Which was the two of them fought instead of being friends.
I feel like they brought it up as so everybody could know that they have already talked about it. You know what I mean? Because they did talk about it together. And it just furthermore proves that you don't have to be fucking friends with everybody just because they talked about it. Let's move on.
There you go. You know?
Well, let's keep it pumping, Fish. And next, we're going to talk about the anonymous questions for Secret Santa.
The only question that really stood out from the Secret Santa moment was, Mary, can you spell delusional?
Well, okay, so the Secret Santa moment, I think the contestants did the Secret Santas.
Yes.
So all those questions.
Yes.
Do you think Sigourney is the one that did that? Because they kept
putting
the camera on
Sigourney. It was Dolly. It was Dolly 100% Dolly. Or that's who they wanted us to make believe.
That's so funny. Dolly's not that catty.
Yes, she is. She's a cunt, but I love her. But I think she's like dramaless, but I think that that's funny to her to ask that question. And it is a funny question.
And she still misspelled it.
Because
she only spelled delusion. She didn't spell delusion at all.
But she spelled delusion right.
It was the wine. The wine was getting to her.
But don't you love that the question had passed, that they had changed subjects? Things were going, and she went, hold on, I'm sorry.
She had to type it in her phone. Hey, she had to type it in her phone. Oh, I got it!
Yeah, they went to lunch and came back.
Lunch? Stop playing.
Okay, let's get to this final moment.
It's the last section.
Which is Hoso and Sigourney have their final little chat, which is reliving. Kendra, you brought this up before.
The reading challenge.
When Hoso said, you don't have Dragula in your blood. And Sigourney said that Hoso was an amateur. Now, what did you think about Hoso's response bringing in her cancer and autoimmune into the idea of being unprofessional or professional?
Thought it was great. Why not? Use the tools you got given to you, you know?
I don't think, I mean, I feel for Hoso because I didn't find out about that. And I know Hoso. I didn't find out about that until I watched the show. But I don't think that's neither here nor there.
Agree.
Based on your professionalism. I don't.
I
was on a deathbed 3 years ago. That doesn't mean like I am the most professional person backstage. That's why I always get back to ask to come back for gigs, unlike other people. But
I feel you.
Just because I was almost dead doesn't, I wake up and I'm like, ooh, I'm the most professional person and I'm going to go out there and toodaloo and skip to my car. That doesn't mean that.
Yeah, but do you feel like maybe Hoso was hearing it differently than Sigourney was saying?
She definitely received the message differently than what Sigourney was saying.
Yeah,
because
Sigourney
was just
saying
like,
that you're not prepared. That's what she was saying.
Be on time. Don't expect other people to dress you. If they help you, that's great. And thank them. Just like be better behaved backstage. Again, all we saw is what the few clips they showed us of like Hoso trying to get into an incredibly complicated outfit that
you absolutely
need help for. So, you know, we don't know. But that Hoso took it so personally, I think means there might be a little bit of truth to it.
Well, because I'm really sensitive as well. I'm a Cancer. So I get it. Like
that's
somebody could say,
hat.
Oh my God.
We really
can't believe
what
that. Where is Mary Cherry? Dear Lord, bless her. Forgive her not.
Jesus Cherry.
Mary Cherry also brought up her near-death experience. She said, I don't have time to be fake.
Is there, for real? Like, I mean, but I believed it out of her mouth. That you don't, once you are on your deathbed and you feel like, fuck, I could have died. Like, you don't have time to be that fake bitch. It's like, no, I'm going to tell you I don't fucking like you to your face. I don't want you to hear from somebody else. You know what I mean? I'm going to do what the fuck I got to do when I want to do it, how I want to do it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Hoso seems like a quick learner. She seems like she picks up things very fast. She is still only like 21 or like, I think she's younger than that. Like, she's a kid, basically.
And she's still very, very young.
Go this far and be so talented, it's like, just let her do one tour and then she'll pick it up. She'll learn to be the best tour
ever. Like, in two
ever.
Years, Hoso's literally going to be unfucking touchable.
Absolutely.
And I think just to, you know, make sure we hit on the sensitivity of what we're talking about, it's less about us saying she's living fearlessly because of her health scare. And it's more about we're saying that doesn't really play into the argument of, like, are you professional or not?
Correct. Because I think all three of us sitting here has been on a deathbed.
No, I only broke my hip.
Girl, that's for your weight, that's bad.
You didn't have Kendra on more often. Okay, who won the reunion in your mind?
Coco Kane.
Coco
Me
won.
Too.
Coco won.
Coco, I want to call Coco every morning when I'm not feeling my best. I'm like, girl, give me some words of encouragement, sis. Please, I need it.
Because she was keeping it real, and then she was also being uplifting. And I was like, where was all of this the whole time you were on the show?
Yeah.
She needs to be back on the show. The Bouets love her. They were like, you're the new spokesperson for the brand. Like,
they definitely left off with saying, I'm sure this is not the last we've seen of you.
Yes.
They like her. The audience loves her. She's going to go far.
Yeah.
Totally.
And she can perform. She can dance.
Oh, she can. Like,
Not everyone can dance.
Not everyone can perform. A lot of people model.
Oh my God. See, so pointed. So pointed. So I know exactly who you're talking about.
I'm talking about a lot of people. I said a lot of people.
As we end this episode, here is my criticism. Why was this announcement of who was going into the final not clear the stage, everybody stand up,
it was just like,
put the four people on the side, make the lights dramatic.
It was a throwaway. It was a throwaway. It had nothing about it that was grand or like worth. It didn't feel like they earned anything.
Sigourney got up shadier. And walked over. They like walked over to congratulate people. It was all like
they walked over to
go.
Wait, my favorite part. I'm going to do it. Saint and Hoso start holding hands, like they just barely touch and grasp hands, and then they were like, Saint, you are continuing. And
Saint
instead of turning
Hoso's
to
fan,
Hoso
so
and being like, I'm sorry, like, oh, you, we've made it this far, she lets go of Hoso's hand and is like, yes, oh, I
yes,
don't know what to feel,
Sigourney.
It's me. And Hoso is just left sitting there staring
she
off. Like,
was pissed.
That
if,
was...
if people could have steam coming off their bodies, she would have had steam from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Hoso was pointed. She was looking straight forward. She was like, I can't. If I was in her mind, this is what I would have heard. I can't believe this shit. I made it to top motherfucking four. I just won two motherfucking challenges back to back. And I'm not going to the top three. You got me all the way fucked up. That's what she said inside.
Yes.
But then we find out that there's not going to be a top three. It is just like Drag Race. There will be a final four.
Wait, what is that other show you speak of? I've never heard of
it. I've never heard of it either. I don't know. I threw together two words.
And they're like, Hoso, we're very sorry to say
you
will also be competing.
You get a card.
Okay, wait. Big Dipper, do you understand how much you sound like Drakmorta?
Me?
Oh my
yes.
God.
If you close your eyes and listen to you speak, do it, Meatball.
Okay,
you sound like Drakmorta. Say that again. Say that line again.
And Hoso, we what was it?
We are delighted to tell you.
Yes, or we're sorry to tell you, you will also be competing.
Now, you see, the problem is that you have too much inflection and, like, vocal choices.
Oh, okay. You know who Kendra sounds like, Meatball?
Myself.
Holmes.
You haven't been hearing it this whole time because we can't see her?
I don't think I...
listening to earlier?
No.
I think you sound a lot like Monet.
Really?
Oh.
Yes.
Even just right there. Really?
Wait,
did you hear that Bob got her voice done? Okay, yes. We'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Bob got her voice done. She got hair now. I'm like,
she got the hair now? I'm horny for Bob with hair.
You haven't seen it? Oh my God, I just hit the
Robert.
You haven't seen it?
No, I saw it.
Oh my God.
I saw it and I posted it and I called him Robert and I want to call him Robert while he's topping me.
Bob looks like 10 years younger.
It's great. And Michael asked me, or someone asked me, is that his real hair? Or, like,
no,
why is
it? It's a wig.
No, I know it's a wig, but someone else asked me that. And then
one of my white friends asked
me. What race was the person?
One of my white friends asked me.
White.
Okay.
As the driven snow. Now,
we are not a smart people when it comes to hair installation.
To units and installs. All right.
Black people are magicians with hair. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They really are. Except, and but also, Gigi Good.
She is also a magician.
She's basically black when it comes to doing hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, she is, I know.
We gotta wrap this up. So the final four that will be bringing us the three tenets of Dragula looks will be Sigourney, Dolly, Saint, and Hoso, and they will be giving us filth, horror, and glamour, and one of them will be covered in blood and awarded with $100,000 from the Boulets.
From the Boulets. Isn't that so cunty?
From
$100,000 furnished by us.
From us.
I'm on mom. Y'all got $100,000? Let me get 20. Let me hold a 20.
Right. You're like a 20 with 3 zeros on the back.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Are you excited,
Kendra,
for the finale, Kendra?
I am very excited for the finale. It's like it's four people that have four different point of views of drag. So
exactly.
This is gonna be a wild ass floor show.
Agree.
Absolutely insane.
I want Dolly to win personally. Only, I mean, I'm partial because Dolly was on my season. That's like one of my closest friends in the cast. Mm-hmm. But all I'm gonna say is if Hoso walks out there for glamour, dusted, done.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing. But I remember on previous final floor shows, they get about an hour, like 30 minutes to an hour in between.
They gotta do glamour first. They can't do glamour after filth. That would be completely unfair.
But I just think
that
the detail in their face as Hoso and the detail in the face they would need to do as like at what we would consider conventional glamour, that would take 2 or 3 hours to do.
True.
There's just no time.
Not everybody paints as slow as you do, Meeple.
I can do
fast.
My face in 45 minutes.
I do my face in an hour now,
I
baby.
Can.
You could never.
Baby,
you don't even
honey.
Know baby honey. So shut up, you fat Drac-Morta.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week. We've gone very over time, but what a great time talking with you, Kendra Onyx. Where can people follow you and
Thank
find
you?
You?
All of my social medias are Kendra Onyx.
With three X's. Two
and
X's.
No
three
y.
X's.
It's an I, not a Y.
It is not a Y. I'm not a Pokemon.
Tell them.
Let them know, bitch. And then go watch the
go watch the boo-boo on YouTube. It's under House of Gorgeous.
Thank you so much for being here. I shouldn't have drank. We're gonna let you go, Kendra, but thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys for having
Bye.
Me.
Fuck
Goodbye.
These. We only have one episode left of Spooky Seconds, which is next week, and it's the finale.
And then we go back to our regular scheduling.
But something we'll say about the finale of Spooky Seconds, it's going to be half of a live show that we're doing at Precinct with Bitch Puddin', and then half of Meatball and I just wrapping up the season together. And so the audio is going to be crazy. And if you're in Los Angeles this coming Tuesday, the 20th, say the date, Meatball? You have no
21st.
Idea. The 21st, come to Bitch's a Dragula viewing party, and
we'll be there
and we're gonna talk
if you're trying to get weird, that's
we'll
the night
there. Okay, goodbye.
I'll be in a jockstrap. Goodbye. Doodle-a-doot-doot forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.